Hey, it's Emily Vogeltans, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast. If you're new around here, The Grove is a monthly gathering at Passion City Church for the women of the Atlanta area. It's led by Shelley Giglio and a team of the most brilliant and creative women. These nights are stunning, something you simply just have to see to believe. Our heartbeat is to encourage and inspire women of all ages and all walks of life to four simple goals: to be rooted in the Word of God, to live in freedom, to flourish where they're planted, and as an overflow of all these things, to provide shade to the people in their path, all for the glory of God. Now, while rooms overflowing with people are exciting and important, we also realized early on that we had a stewardship and opportunity to create smaller conversations for women, both older and younger, to grow their roots deeper into the truth of Jesus. So Flourish, a mentoring journey, was born as an extension of The Grove. More than 3,500 women in our church have traveled this mentoring journey together, and we have seen countless stories of life change. That's what the power of the Word of God does. It transforms lives. You want to stay tuned to the end of this episode to hear more about the Flourish curriculum that we're releasing to the world for the very first time and find out when and how you can get it into your hands and heart. But first, today's episode. You're going to hear from Shelley Giglio and some of our resident mentoring experts on how and why we do this. Shelley, Daniele Flickinger, and Carmen Coe talk about the heart of mentoring and how it's changed their lives personally and how it's impacted our church. They also discuss why mentoring is vital for growth, and they break down some of the practical elements of how mentoring can look in your life, your church, and your community. So listen in and be encouraged and challenged by this episode of The Grove Podcast. Hey, it's Shelley Giglio, and you are listening to The Grove Podcast, and this is going to be one of your most favorite of the podcasts that we have posted so far. We have the opportunity today to talk about a thing that we've created around here called Flourish, and lots of people who know about it have asked many, many questions about it, but it's a mentoring program that we've developed through our church at Passion City Church. And it's been able to create the most incredible strength in women in our house. And we have been able to see God do some unbelievable things through the women's lives who have been matured into the people of God that He always intended for us to be. And it has absolutely changed our lives. And we thought today that we would spend some energy and time talking through some of those ways that it has and trying to encourage you, whether you're a church leader or an independent woman who just wants to grow up and turn into the person that God's intended, to actually be developed in that way. And we believe that Flourish is a way for that to happen. So I want to introduce a couple of my friends that are here with me today. One of them is Carmen Coe. Carmen, say hello.
Hello.
Introduce yourself. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name's Carmen. My husband is a pastor here at Passion, but we've been tracking with Louie and Shelley in the Passion movement for about 15 years now. Love them, would follow them anywhere.
Oh, that's scary, but thank you.
Well,
truly.
But yes, I mean, I am honored to serve on the Grove leadership team and lean in there with the prayer team and help lead those women. And mentoring has changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. So that's why I'm passionate about this and love jumping in on this conversation.
Yeah, and I love that you can talk about it from that authentic place.
Yeah.
My other friend is here. Her name is Daniele Flickinger, and Daniele actually leads our Flourish program at Passion City Church. She has years of mentoring experience, and she's a great friend, and we've been able to walk this journey together. So introduce yourself, Daniele.
Hi, everybody. First thing you should know is that I am Brazilian, and I have an accent.
You have the best accent ever.
You're going to hear for the duration of this podcast.
I love it.
And yeah, so since 2005, I'm a part of the Passion team in different ways. For 7 years, I was in the conference team, took a break, and that's when mentoring entered my world. I personally am very passionate about people and development and just love to see people reach their full potential, especially in Christ, and be who they are. They were made to be. And back in around 2011, 2010, I started a group of 12 girls, mentoring 12 girls at my home. And that's when I developed a deep love for mentoring. I saw what God was doing and the love that I developed for these girls. And coincidentally, the Grove was starting. Shelley had this in her heart as well for the Grove. And that's when the conversations of Flourish started. And since then, we've been in this great journey, almost 6 years now.
It's beautiful. I love that you've been around for the duration of the journey, Danielle. It's fun to get to develop something with a friend, especially something that's intrinsic in your heart. I feel like you naturally gravitate toward raising women into mm-hmm. places that God intended them to be. And you've done such a heroic job of that, both personally, not just in a corporate way, but personally. That's the way you invest your life. And I think now we have sort of a book that we've written that sort of leads people through that journey.
Right.
But it didn't start as a book and it wasn't organized in the beginning. It was more mm-hmm. just a heart driven yes. thing. So talk about those even beginning times. And then I'm going to ask Carmen to ask some questions of us as well.
Awesome. Well, it's what I love the most is how organic it is and how mm-hmm. it happened so authentically. And, you know, in my heart specifically, it was in a time where I really didn't know what God was going to do with my life. And I literally just remember wanting to be obedient. And even the group, I didn't even form this group of girls. But I love how organically it started, how the timing of it and the desire of the Grove not wanting to be only a gathering, which is amazing. What we do here is incredibly anointed, but mm-hmm. I remember clearly us wanting to go deeper mm-hmm. and just the lining up of everything and everybody just being so open-handed in a way that we were willing to just see where God would lead us. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have a program. We didn't have a plan manufactured, but we did have the disposition, which is very important when you're wanting to do it. And then we started pursuing step by step and deciding one thing at a time, taking the time to see it, where it would take us, and then going from there. And that's one of the things I love the most is that we started, number one, wanting to do it with scripture. I remember when we were debating if we were going to use books or not, and then we decided to just really give women the opportunity to go deep in the Word of God, and that's where the root of everything started. So today, I see that it's taking root, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, we did a year of beta, but we just kicked off our fifth year of
crazy, Flourish, such
which
a good
is
thing.
So beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Right. And you think of the oaks of righteousness and the plantings and even the seedlings of righteousness right. that are sprouting up because of it. It's so exciting to see women go through complete two whole years and become mentors themselves. Yes. And then, you know, right. so just God is doing amazing things. And we honor Shelley and Danielle and how you guys have just toiled the ground and prepared the ground for this program and how it's being sent out just to be available to other people. So there's so much to celebrate yeah. in all that God has done and all that's becoming available. And like every resource in our house, it's just come out of what the Lord is doing here.
His yeah, it's
here.
A beautiful
so
thing.
It wasn't yes. contrived as, you know, starting that way. It's just how the Lord led our house, and right. then we want to make that available.
So yeah, so I think it's awesome when you think about that, because I think about people that are sitting in a house of their own mm-hmm. today and how yeah. they are doing their best to hear the leading of the Lord and to take a chance by following that leading mm-hmm. and how it's going to lead all of us to beautiful places. And for us, you know, mentoring was in our heart from the very beginning, and mm-hmm. we're strong believers in people coming to know Jesus. And sometimes that's in a first time original way of them mm-hmm. putting their trust in Jesus mm-hmm. and becoming a Christian. And we have loads of people here yeah. at Passion right. City Church who meet Jesus for the very first time. Yeah. And people ask me a lot, what makes your church so alive? And I'm like, man, when you have people coming to Jesus week after week after week, and the yeah. hundreds of people meeting Jesus, you can't help but be energized yeah. by what God's doing in yeah. your midst. Right. It's very alive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very fresh, but also as a responsibility, as a shepherd of those mm-hmm, people,
absolutely.
We want to invest in people's growth. We yeah. want to disciple people to grow up and to mm-hmm. look like Jesus.
Right.
That's the goal, that we would grow into the people of yeah. God who reflect the nature and character and beauty of our God.
Absolutely.
And so we have to do that in disciplined ways. We don't just end up there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just like everything else in life, right. you don't just start one day and then end up there. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise the muscles that are required mm-hmm. to become the person that you so know good. God intends for you to
right.
be.
Yes.
And when Christ births us and puts his spirit inside of us, there is a yearning toward that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what Danielle was talking about just now of just scripture and how that scripture can come to life in our lives. Mm-hmm. Rather than write about experts who talk about mentoring, mm-hmm. in the very beginning, we decided that we would organize scripture in such a way that we could push our lives up against mm-hmm. the truth of that.
Yes.
There is an absolute truth, and that is the word of God.
Right.
And our lives do best when they align with that truth.
Absolutely.
And so we decided, instead of putting preferred experts' opinions mm-hmm. into a book and saying, hey, let's spend a year of right. our lives doing this, mm-hmm. that we would actually put the word of God in front of us
yeah.
and that we would discipline ourselves to stretch that muscle every single day.
Yeah.
And that we would put leaders ahead of us who have not experts, people. There is no one who's mentoring anyone who feels like an expert.
Right.
No. We all feel like we're in a journey here.
Yeah.
It's a pretty messy process.
Absolutely.
But we are ahead of some other people who are just slightly yeah. behind us, and we can give some advice as to what it means to walk alongside yeah. God
yes.
in that way. And so that's really the heart of Flourish, you know,
mm-hmm.
to create
yes.
a moment where we apply our lives to that truth in a disciplined way. So that somebody mentioned in time, we would become the oaks of righteousness that God intends.
Yeah,
right.
I love that. You know, when we ask the question, what is mentoring and why is it essential? And you talk about scripture and that we're going to hold it all up against the truth of scripture. A friend reminded me this week about Psalms 19. And in verse 12, it says, who can discern their own errors?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your servant from willful sins. And then forgive my hidden faults. And so to Ooh. Me, that just hit me that
yeah.
I was just like, that's mentoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
somebody
beautiful...
to help me with those boundaries, somebody yeah. to see what I don't see.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we all get blinded by your personality or something that's not your strength and you don't even realize you're doing it
right.
or where the source or root of something that's bothering you is.
Right.
But a mentor, somebody can hold up scripture and just say, I'm praying with you. I'm praying the scripture
right.
over you.
Yeah.
But what is mentoring and why is
and
it
we
essential?
We see that, you know, I think even if you cannot totally organizedly come to that conclusion,
mm-hmm.
we see that in the eagerness of these girls signing up.
Yeah.
Every year there's like a waiting list because so many people want to be a part of the journey. And everybody has this desire to live to the fullest because God, you know, he promises abundant life. He also calls us. I love that in 1 Peter 5:1-5, it talks about mentoring, but it calls us to live in a certain way and to lead people, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, and just shepherding people. So it's a call, but it's a deep desire that we have, and it's a promise that God gives us. So I think for us, mentoring is obviously from the beginning, you know, that we are wanting you to root yourself in the Word of God because, like Shelley just said, it's the only answer
mm-hmm.
for us. And it's the only really truly way to live if you want to be a follower of Christ. But also it's calling women up. We say
yeah.
in our vision that it's calling you to a higher standard of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that is what God wants from us. And
mm-hmm.
I think so many times we are just crawling and we're just living out of the cisterns that have a tendency to live, you know, drinking that water. But God has so much more for us, and we can't do that alone. Mm-hmm. I believe God will help us, but I think mentoring is just a trusted partnership that will lead to spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And when you desire that, I don't think everybody's ready for it truly, because it takes a certain commitment. But when you're ready for it and you really pursue it and you look up to somebody that has been ahead of you, it's so possible and it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word.
Yeah,
I feel like that you mentioned just the scripture that compels us to the more. And I would just say personally that the best mentoring situations I've ever been in, whether I am the mentor or whether I am being mentored, are people that don't give me their opinion.
Yeah.
But people who actually hold up truth to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how truth becomes a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
At something absolute in a world of non-absolutes, which is what we live in, it's always a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
No one absolutely knows anything about anything. It's just a different opinion all the time.
Yep.
And, you know, with social media, it becomes loud opinions. A lot of people talking a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's different than applying the truth. And I think the best mentors don't actually look at your life and say, well, I would advise this, that, or the other. Or in my expertise, this is what I think you should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They actually just hold up scripture in front of you and say, you know, this is what the word of God has to say about that.
Yes.
And this is what God is hoping for you in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is the purpose that God might be creating in the difficulty that you're in.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you can see those things, then you become alive to growing into that truth.
Yeah.
And it just becomes less about being an expert. I think every mentor that we would talk to right now, if you sat them down in this room with us, I mean, hopefully we'll get a chance to do that in time and through our website development and a lot of other things that we'll have those opportunities. But I think every one of them would say, I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I'm so much in the journey of learning that I don't know that I'm qualified to mentor somebody else. But are you qualified to hold up the mirror of the truth of God's word? That's the main qualification.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
And if you can go back and refer to absolute truth, then you don't have to be an expert on anything.
Exactly.
You can just walk alongside and encourage people to rise up to that truth.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like a lot of people who may be looking for a sensei or someone who's just older, wiser, just give me the advice, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some self-improvement, self-help kind of stuff. And that's not what mentoring is.
No.
Mentoring is not someone you go to for, you know, all the answers. It's someone who just holds up the truth of scripture and puts that promise of God in the forefront of your mind, or the cross right in the forefront of your mind, so that you can look through those Jesus lens at your same circumstances, at the same things that are going on in your life, but they just help change your viewpoint and see it with God eyes, you know, of his hope, his promise, his things that are assured to us, the good things that will never be taken away, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what phase of life we're in.
And so, Carmen, you need to talk about a little bit about, just because you mentioned earlier about things that you don't recognize in yourself, but they're holding you back from all God wants you to be, and how a mentor in your life can help you see and recognize some of those things and then lead you to the truth of that. So I know the woman who mentored you, or at least for part of your life, that you had such a great moment with. And there was some of that that arose in your life. Talk about that for a minute and just how that came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mentoring has to come at a point in your life where you're willing to reprioritize. A lot of people may look at it and say, what am I going to lose, or what am I, if I commit to this, because it is a commitment.
Yeah.
Right. And my mentor was very strong about make sure this is the right time for you. And so she required my husband to be in the approval process and that he supported me in the time it was going to take for me to do this. And so I loved that from the very beginning. But she really made me evaluate the commitment and getting involved in committing to her and not wasting anyone's time. And so I had this self-evaluation of, I've got to reorganize my day, because it became worth it when I started thinking of, I am sick and tired of dealing with the same sin in over and over in my life. And the enemy just keeps disguising it or bringing it up when I'm weak or going through a new season and I'm tired of it. And yes, I know Jesus died on the cross and the same power that raised him is at work in me. Mm-hmm. But why is this continue to come up? And so that's when I started opening up to the idea of not accountability. I had done that before. This is different than that. This is mentorship. And so committing a year of my life to walk with this woman, to give her access to my true thoughts and even patterns and behaviors. And then she just, you know, held up scripture. She encouraged us to memorize scripture every single month. So meet together regularly. If you couldn't meet at that meeting, it was up to you to reschedule that meeting with everyone involved. Mm-hmm. We calendared out our whole year. But really, it was a journey, but showing me that there is access to all that God has for me.
Right.
And that my unbelief or my unforgiveness was really a blockade, was clouding, was an obstacle to me experiencing the fullness of Jesus, experiencing the power that I had over these sins, that I could be more than a conqueror in Christ, you know, with those things and those strongholds that hold us back. And so over the course of a year, you know, and it takes time to dig through and earn trust and unveil all that is deep down in there that we try to hide and cover up and stuff. But she changed my life. And really, it was just because she reprioritized the Word of God in my life and the power it has over every single circumstance. And so even today, I don't have her with me on this side of heaven. She's in heaven right now, and she's not physically by my side to remind me of those things. But the things she taught me in those 12 months will forever be the first thing I think of, because I recognize the work of the enemy now so much faster. I have so much more discernment.
So good.
Because of the things that she instilled in me, and just in the discipline of being in the Word and taking my circumstances to the Word and my prayer life, praying God's Word, and like all of those facets. She held my feet to the fire for a year and made me do that. And so,
so awesome.
We talk about often the passage of scripture in 2 Timothy that talks about the command really for us to mentor. That it's not really optional. And I feel like the church, being the big C church at large, often feels like that discipling, mentoring is sort of an optional thing. Like, we can consider whether we want to do that in this season of our church life or not. We around here talk as though it's a command. Danielle, I talk about that a little bit. Just because I think it's a different mantle of the way we carry it because of what we feel like scripture is speaking to.
I, you know, if you look in the Bible, all the passages, most of the passages about mentoring, they are related to the spread of the gospel. You know, the way we live, the Message version says in Titus 2, we don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. And it's not legalism, but it's really the call that we have in every one of the passages to be living in a way that it's worthy of others following. And yeah, it's not an option. I mean, for me, since the very beginning, this, you know, we have a large church. It looks different for every church. It can be as simple as organically matching people. For us, it's a more complicated process, but we never said we're not going to do it. It's we only asked God, how are we going to do it? And again, we did it step by step, but it's just what we are called to do. And if you call it mentoring or not, it's so important to do it. Like Shelley was saying, the power of having someone telling the truth, speaking, you know, calling you up on something, and the freedom that comes from that, and the privilege that it is of having someone like your mentor had in your life, it's incredible. And I think the church benefits so much. I read something the other day. This author said that the church could be a leadership factory if mentoring was effectively happening happening in churches. And I think we've been a little bit, I don't know the word, but we've learned about mentoring from the secular world. Mentoring is so strong in corporations, in the military. It's so strong and effective because it will propel people to a place. You're going to go higher. And it's the same in a way with this. Why don't we have this ambition to live in a better way and to have fuller life and to bless others as we would have outside of the church? So the church, I want to call the church to mentoring.
Yeah, that's so
great. It's an important thing.
Shelley, you've mentioned before.
I think I said 1 Timothy 2, maybe instead of Titus 2. Oh. Hey, guys, I'm
Point
here
of correction.
For let me tell y'all
that's
scripture.
That's a great example right there.
There is some stuff in 2 Timothy 2 also.
Timothy is an important character in mentoring.
Yes, I'll
say. Let's check them out both. But Shelley, you've talked a lot, and it really stuck with me, about an orphan culture and the role of spiritual parenting.
Yeah,
I love that.
Can you talk about that some more?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like that oftentimes in our lives, particularly in the world as it is these days, with the amount of busyness, the ways that families have been deconstructed, I believe that's the work of the enemy to destroy what God created as good. And it's become such a culture of, I feel like everyone has left me. I feel abandoned. I don't feel helped. I feel like by the time I was 13, I was on my own. It was up to me as to whether I would become who I am or not. That's all, it's all to the detriment of our spiritual lives. It's not just an effect of us on, wow, we didn't have a good father in our home, or we didn't have parents who understood their roles. It's also a reflection that we put on God as maybe he's the same way. And it turns out setting us back from developing naturally into the people of God that he intended, which is what we've been talking about from the very beginning.
So true.
And so we walk through life considering ourselves orphaned. We feel disconnected from somebody who is ahead of us. We feel like it's up to us for all of the development to come just on our own. And I don't think scripture and the way God intended us to live aligns with that philosophy. We can't become all we're intended to be by ourselves. Like Daniele said, we need help in that process. And I think the church at large, the Big C church that we're talking about, has a responsibility to take ownership. We cannot turn people into spiritual beings. We can't say to you, Carmen, hey, you are going to grow up and be like God and you can do it. Because we know that you're going to need help doing it. And so what responsibility and stewardship do we have as leadership to say, we'll invest in trying to help you do that? And I think becoming is in all of our lives. We are all becoming. It's a process. I plan to spend my whole life becoming more like Jesus. I hope when I'm 80 years old, people see growth in me and that I'm just not stuck somewhere. And have become what I am, and I use it as an excuse for the way I live. I want to always be growing and stretching and becoming. And I think we all do, but we need help in that process. And sometimes that just takes organizing things. Sometimes it takes, like we've done, writing some things down. Sometimes it takes a process of inviting people into it. Sometimes it takes training up people so that they can lead it. Sometimes the church has a stewardship to be doing these things. And we just believe that we want to be good stewards of people's lives. And I want to raise world changers. I believe, like Daniele said, it's for the purpose of the gospel to be extended to all people on earth. So it's not just that we would become strong. It's that we would become strong so that the whole world could hear that Jesus is alive and that he wants a relationship with every person on earth. And so there's a gospel thread through our growing up. And it is not just for our own benefit, but it is for the benefit of the whole world.
That's
so good. I remember Aaron and I used to be church planners in New York City, and I got to the point where it's a very transitional kind of a city.
Yeah.
And I'd invest in a woman, invest in women, and then they'd leave.
Yep.
And then I'd be
we have a little bit of that around here too.
And then I'd invest. But that's exactly what it's supposed to be. And I remember the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because I got to the point where I was like, all right, I'm going to stop giving myself away. Mm. It's too painful to fill somebody up, to build them up in maturity, and then they leave.
Have them leave.
And really, hello, that's the whole point.
Well, you can either see it as leaving, or you can see it as being sent.
Sent, yes.
And, you know, we're ascending people.
Yes.
And if your church isn't sending people out, then your church is stagnant water, because all the people have come in, and they may or may not be growing, but they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And rivers flow beautifully when they're flowing in and out.
Yeah.
And so people come and go. And, you know, I say often, and I talk on my Instagram even sometimes about this, but people are people. They do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's to the benefit of everyone around them, and sometimes it's not. And we've all done it too.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to recognize that people are going to change where they want to be. They're going to change how they live. They're going to change, you know, all the proximity of their life is going to change over time.
Yeah.
I think that the way that we can steward that best, and I talk about it often around here, is with open hands.
Yes.
Right. So that we say to God, God, we are available to you to be your stewards.
Yeah.
In this moment, in this world, we are your people.
Yeah.
And if we do it that way with our hands open, then God has the freedom to put people in our hands that he wants us to steward and grow and to disciple. And then he has the freedom to take them out when he's done.
Right.
And we don't have to fight him over whether we're holding them or not.
Yeah.
Right. Our hands are wide open. So if he wants to put them in, great. If he wants to take them out, that's okay too.
That.
It doesn't mean it's not painful.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you don't go back to those times in your life and think, wow, I gave a lot of myself away to a person that I don't ever see or talk to. But you have to believe that God intended those moments for such a time as this.
Absolutely.
And that he's using, just like he was using in your mentor's life in these days.
Yeah.
She's no longer here, but here you are invested in talking about the difference that she made in your life and the way that she gave you tangible tools to live out being a follower of Jesus Christ. And you're practicing that today, whether she's around or not.
Yeah.
Right. In the same way, those people that you've invested in, hopefully and prayerfully, are doing the exact same thing.
Let's talk for a second about awkwardness.
What
I know something Shelly knows nothing about, but
I do awkward really poorly.
What if you're matched with somebody? Like, are we looking for someone who looks like you? Are you
man, Daniele is so eloquent about this stuff. You need to talk about this, Daniele. It's so good.
It's so important, because I feel like people, when you first meet, especially if there's a matching process, there's so many amazing Jesus stories about people being matched that we didn't know. We just prayed over, and God did the supernatural.
Yep.
And it was obviously evident after the fact. But what if you meet your mentor and you're like, I have nothing in common with this person?
Yeah. Which happens.
Again,
it really does happen.
It does. But again, I think we are so used to the mentoring idea of someone that has an affinity with me in certain area of my life. I do think a lot of people, when they're looking for a mentor, they're looking for, they have this picture of someone that is looks like X, right? Or is X, or is a career woman, or is a stay-at-home mom, or something similar to me. And while that holds truth in some aspects, our affinity, the start of a good spiritual Christian mentoring journey, is the fact that we are all in the same belief, and we are walking and following the same person, who is Jesus. So in the beginning, for us, compatibility was a big concern, because we were learning it and we wanted to make sure that we looked at all these things. And then as the years went by, we learned that while that is somewhat of a factor in the matching, it's not the most important thing.
Yeah.
The most important thing is your desire to really lead someone, is your desire to really look up to someone that knows something you don't in this journey to follow Jesus, and the ability to open yourself up, like you just said.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if it's a sense of justice in me or what it is, but I do have a desire. I don't want to let someone go through their lives without knowing something about themselves that I do.
Mm.
And I feel like a sense of responsibility when I see something and I feel like I'm supposed to say. Mm-hmm. And I love to sit with someone and just tell them what I see. And when you're willing to, one, do that, and two, receive that, you grow so much. So I do think you have to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. But compatibility and, you know, it's not something that you should let keep yourself from going through a journey. I also learned that when you commit yourself and you're consistent and faithful in going through what you're signed up for, like in our case, we have a one-year journey. Yeah. You see God do things you would have never dreamed that he would do mm-hmm. through that person. My mentor was the opposite of me, and she brought so much good to my life mm-hmm. because I learned from her the very things I wasn't good at, mm-hmm. and I saw in her the very things that I needed and made such a difference in my life. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I answered your question.
I think that's the great answer. And you can think, and every one of us who are listening can think about the person that we've learned a lot from who looks nothing like us.
Yeah.
And I laugh because I think God pairs me with people that are opposite of me on purpose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for that very reason, like Danielle's mm-hmm. talking about, to actually balance my characteristics instead of to just enhance them.
Yeah.
And what I don't need is more of who I already am.
Right.
What I need is for somebody to come at it from a different angle than me and to present different information that helps me see the gaps, mm-hmm. the things in my life that I need to be more disciplined in this area, or I need to take time with God every morning in the way that you do. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do it exactly like I do it. I need to mm-hmm. see that I could be stretched to do it in a different way.
Yeah.
And the best relationships are people that are unique and not exactly mm-hmm. the same. Yeah. And that calls us to a balance. I mean, in my marriage, Louis and I have the common denominator of Jesus is very strong in our life.
Yes.
And he is the compelling reason that I believe God brought us together, not so much for us just to know Jesus together, but that the whole world could know,
mm-hmm.
that we together could be a force that's stronger than us independently.
Yes.
And I believe that, and it is our common denominator. Mm-hmm. Now, how we go about life, I would say exactly opposite. I mean, he comes from a completely one way, and I come at it completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, and especially over the 33 years we've been married, becomes balance.
Yeah.
I move toward him and he moves toward me,
mm-hmm.
right?
So good.
And in that is a better place for both of us.
For sure.
And so same thing in a mentor relationship.
Yeah.
You're not looking for somebody who just shows up and looks like you and is in the same stage of life as you and can talk about the things that you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You're
Absolutely.
Actually looking for somebody to bring some truth that's different from you,
mm-hmm.
that can help you understand and stretch and grow in some ways that you wouldn't naturally do that.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
So I love it. I love the matching process because yes, God does the beautiful and we have moments all the time around here where we've matched a mentor to someone and it has been like, oh my goodness, only God could have done that.
Right. Yeah.
But then we also have moments where people resist, where mm-hmm. they show up and say, this person isn't like me and I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be helpful to me. But once they dig in, they find out that it's actually more helpful than they could have ever imagined.
Right.
And so sometimes you have to pay the price. You have mm-hmm. to take the time and make the commitment and just say, I'll stay in here so that I can see the good that God intends from this.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. And so in our journey of what we've learned through the matching process, through you know, how we brought about this program to the women of our house, we have put together, your team has put together, again, such a beautiful reflection of God. And chimes go off when we talk about
yes.
it, like it's a holy moment.
Yes.
But everything we do here, we do to reflect the beauty of God. And there's the latest version of our curriculum that we're leading people through year one and year two is just so beautiful and takes women straight to Scripture, digging into Scripture, comparing Old and New Testament Scriptures. But we've broken it into sections, sessions, if you will. Danielle, tell us a little bit about the Flourish curriculum.
Yeah, so since the beginning, like we said before, we decided that we would study scripture and give people the opportunity to learn the voice of God by themselves. So we started writing, basically compiling books of scripture, and created this material that is a year long. We're publishing it soon, and it's a year long journey through scripture. And we have 6 topics for this first year. Every topic is 2 months long. It's all scripture, and daily we have some prompts that will lead you to go a little deeper into that scripture and also other pieces of scripture. But it's a journey that took basically 5 years to, you know, get finished. And like we said in the beginning, it was an organic process, but a beautiful process of, as much as possible, we want to give women the opportunity to study whole books of the Bible, and from identity, calling, prayer, studying the Word is what we desire for people to do in this program. So it's kind of the basis of what Flourish is. And we ask the mentors to start with this content in every time they meet, and then talk about life as well. But making a priority to make sure that the voice of scripture is the loudest voice in the journey.
I love that.
I think it gives mentors prompts too to have conversations with their mentee in a way that's helpful. And instead of just getting together and saying, well, hey, update me on your life, you know, what's going on, and what can we talk about today? It actually gives us a reference point that we're doing together, so that the common ground is scripture. And what we're learning about is in the context of these ideas, whether it's identity or calling or prayer, so that we're sitting around that subject matter as it relates to scripture and figuring out how our lives can have that pressure against them, so that we can be refined in those spaces and areas.
Right.
And so it's just a, it's not just, it's not just a compiling of scripture. It's a very intentional journey.
Right.
So that at the end of all of these sessions or segments of this journey throughout the year, that we would have evaluation points to understand that we've seen growth in those areas.
Right. And there's a mentor version coming out. So we'll have the mentee and the mentor. We haven't figured out the names yet, Shelley.
Mentor mentees are weird words.
Right names.
They are the best titles for right now for what we have.
So the mentee version is different than the mentor version. The mentor version will have some guidelines as how to lead the journey with your group or with this person you're journeying with. And it's coming in May.
Yeah, May is the release date for this program and idea. And I love the idea that churches all over the world can be walking through this together. And again, so it's not so that Passion can create a resource.
Right.
It's really so that the church can grow in this area, and that we can actually be developed in the area of mentoring each other, like we said, as the command has encouraged us to do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's such great boundary lines.
Yes.
You know, scripture says boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places.
Yes.
I love that.
And that to me is this aid, this tool right here is a pleasant boundary line, just a guide to help frame your journey and your walk together in mentorship. And it's centered, grounded, rooted in scripture.
Absolutely.
And you can't go wrong. So it's just such a beautiful resource. So we're excited to make that available. And thank you guys. Thank you for
what a great
you.
Conversation. Yes. Loved it. Loved talking the about the things that we invest in and feel like matter most. So thanks for having us just
Absolutely.
To have this moment together.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to learn more about the Flourish Mentoring Journey, be sure to check out passioncitychurch.com/flourish, where you'll find loads of helpful tools and resources, including videos, articles, and more that will help you launch a mentoring journey of your own. We're also excited to announce our Flourish curriculum that we've been developing for 6 years will be available to the world for the very first time in May of 2019. You can go ahead and pre-order your copy by visiting our website. And as always, if you are a lady in the Atlanta area and would like to join us for a Grove gathering, just follow us along on Instagram at @PCC_TheGrove for all the details of what's coming up. We'll see you next time on the Grove Podcast.